Hello, and welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute magazine program designed for English learners. I'm Mario Ritter, and thank you for joining us on this Friday, March 4th. Every day, we bring you stories from around the world. They cover many different subjects, from politics to international issues to sports and culture. Our stories are written in a way that is easy to understand for English learners, but the ideas are not simple. Later in the show, we tell you about concerns at the U.S. Defense Department about Russia's increasing military activities. In U.S. politics, we bring you a story about anger within the Republican Party at the leading presidential candidate, Donald Trump. Refugees may get their own Olympic team. The International Olympic Committee approved a plan to let refugee athletes compete in Rio de Janeiro this year. And we have a story about the recent death of a member of Cuba's ruling Castro family. Then, we wish to offer you our weekly grammar lesson on wishing and hoping. But first, we tell you about the United Nations Security Council's approval of sanctions against North Korea. North Korea launched several short-range missiles from its eastern coast Thursday. The action took place one day after the United Nations Security Council approved new sanctions against the country. UN members seek to punish North Korea for its nuclear and long-range missile tests earlier this year. The South Korean Defense Ministry said it is investigating the incident. It is not clear how many missiles were fired. U.S. officials say they are watching the situation closely. The UN resolution had more than 50 co-sponsors. One measure put in place is the required inspection of all cargo going in and out of a community nation. There is also a total arms embargo, including both conventional and other weapons. The resolution calls for restrictions on the sale of coal from North Korea, as well as other minerals, including gold, iron, iron ore, and titanium. An earlier ban on the sale or supply of aviation fuel to North Korea was revised. Aviation fuel can be used as rocket fuel. Russia urged that the measure be changed to permit fuel for passenger aircraft. Banking sanctions also have been increased in addition to bans on the sale of luxury goods to North Korea. Travel bans and asset freezes also have been placed on 16 new individuals. The vote on Wednesday came as the Security Council released a report on how North Korea has avoided international sanctions over 10 years. The report says the four rounds of increasingly strong UN measures imposed on North Korea since 2006 have not worked. It says sanctions have not persuaded the government of Kim Jong-un to stop its nuclear and ballistic missile programs. The UN report documents a number of cases where North Korea has avoided sanctions. The report shows how the North continues to use the international financial system, airlines and container shipping routes, to trade banned items. A 2006 UN resolution requires member states to report all inspections of North Korean cargo if it is suspected of carrying arms, whether a violation is found or not. However, in the past 10 years, only one member has filed a report. Southeast Asia, Africa, and the Middle East, the report notes, continue to sell banned North Korean military equipment. These include parts for unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, and radar systems. The UN contacted the government of Myanmar about the possible involvement of a Myanmar-based group in attempts to ship aluminum alloy parts to North Korea. The aluminum rods can be used to make nuclear centrifuges. These were seized in Japan while being transported in 2012. The Korea Mining Development Trading Corporation, COMID, was identified in April 2009 as a main exporter of North Korean banned goods. These include equipment relating to ballistic missiles and conventional weapons. But COMID has been able to get around sanctions by using a different name and working through the Hong Kong shipping company Leader International. The report says China-based Dalian Union International Trading took part in trade banned under UN sanctions. It says the company used a bank held by the Sunny International Development Company, registered in Hong Kong. In 2015, Britain informed the panel about an attempt by North Korea to buy optical equipment for drones through companies based in China and registered in Hong Kong. In 2014, the UN panel examined a North Korean drone that crashed on a South Korean border island. It said the drone was likely made by one of two Chinese companies. Manufacturers in the Czech Republic and Canada also made parts used in the Chinese-made unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs. An examination of the wreckage of a North Korean Unha 3 rocket launched in 2012 showed the involvement of a Taipei-based company, the Royal Team Corporation. The report explained complicated payments used to get around sanctions. The UN panel found that North Korea tried to hide its banned dealings with RTC by sending payments through a third company that it paid to host a trade show. The report reveals North Korean military ties with Uganda, Eritrea, and Vietnam. However, the past evasions show the difficulty in placing sanctions on North Korea in many countries, including China, where enforcement has not been strong. Next, Jim Dressbach brings us a story about concerns at the U.S. Defense Department about Russia's military influence. This week, the commander of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, told a Senate committee that Russia sees the U.S. and NATO as a threat. Jim tells us more.
Russia is sending troops to several regions and sees the U.S. and NATO as long-term threats, said NATO's military commander Tuesday. U.S. Air Force General Philip Breedlove spoke to a panel of the Senate Armed Services Committee in Washington, D.C. He said Russia has used its military against neighbors to gain regional influence. Russia has used military force to violate the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of Ukraine, Georgia, and others like Moldova, the general told the committee. Breedlove said Russia has kept Ukraine from moving closer to the West. Breedlove noted one of Russia's objectives is to hurt the relationship between the U.S. and its NATO allies. The Air Force General added that Russia's military influence has spread from the Black Sea to the eastern Mediterranean Sea and western Syria. Russia seeks to reestablish a leading role on the world stage. Russia sees the U.S. and NATO as threats to its objectives and as constraints on its aspirations. Russia recognizes strength and sees weakness as an opportunity, Breedlove told the Senate committee. Breedlove said Russia has done little to counter the Islamic State militant group in Syria. Russia started airstrikes against rebel positions in Syria in September 2015, according to multiple media sources. I'm Jim Dressbach.
Many Republicans are alarmed at the success of the presidential candidate leading in the party's nominating contest. Thursday, a former Republican presidential nominee made his opinion known. Bruce Alpert has more.
A prominent Republican has criticized presidential candidate and billionaire Donald Trump as unworthy of the office of President of the United States. Former U.S. presidential nominee Mitt Romney gave a highly critical speech Thursday about frontrunner Trump. In his speech, he urged Republicans to vote for other Republican candidates and not Trump. "Here's what I know. Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud," Romney said. "A Trump presidency would be bad for American workers and families," he said. Trump's success has worried Republican Party leaders. The party is worried about many of Trump's positions. That includes trade and immigration. Trump has called for building a wall between the U.S. and Mexico, deporting 11 million illegal immigrants, and barring Muslims from entering the country. If Donald Trump's plans were ever implemented, the country would sink into depression, Romney said Thursday. He also said that the only serious policy proposals that deal with the broad range of national challenges in America come from other remaining candidates, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and John Kasich. Joshua Stockley, a political scientist at the University of Louisiana Monroe, said he can't think of another time when a presidential candidate was slammed by top leaders in the same party. "The reason we can't think of a case like this is because in the modern age of the nomination process, we never had a candidate like Donald Trump. Never have we had a case of someone so disliked by the establishment doing so well in an establishment-created entity," Stockley said of the Republican nominating process. Stockley isn't sure Romney's speech will hurt Trump. "The potential falls short because he doesn't tell voters where the anti-Trump votes should go," Stockley said. Romney listed Trump's failed enterprises, a university, steaks, vodka, casino, and more, and said that a business genius, he is not. "Trump's promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University," Romney said. Trump University is under investigation for fraud in New York. Romney also mentioned that the billionaire refuses to release his tax returns. He also discussed Trump's reluctance to refuse political support from a former leader of the Ku Klux Klan white supremacist group. On Wednesday, a group of American foreign policy experts signed a letter opposing Trump. The final paragraph of the 454-word letter said Trump would make America less safe and hurt the U.S.'s standing in the world. They said they could not support a party ticket with Trump as the candidate for president. The people who signed include former U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff and former top Pentagon official Dov Zakheim. Romney's attacks on Trump differ greatly from remarks he made in 2012. Trump supported Romney's presidential candidacy then. Romney praised Trump's business expertise. Donald Trump has shown an extraordinary ability to understand how our economy works, to create jobs for the American people, Romney said then. But on Thursday, Romney joined an increasing number of Republican Party leaders and financial supporters who strongly oppose Trump's candidacy. The opposition to Trump is gaining momentum. Groups are planning to spend millions of dollars on advertising against Trump. Conservative Solutions is a political action committee supporting Florida Senator Marco Rubio for president. Conservative Solutions opposes Trump and has bought $6 million of advertising in states with upcoming primaries. I'm Bruce Alpert.
Now it's time for Ashley Thompson's What's Trending story. The idea of an Olympic team for refugees has gained a lot of attention as the Olympics of Rio de Janeiro near. Here's Ashley.
This is What's Trending Today. For the first time, a team of refugees will compete at the Olympic Games. The International Olympic Committee approved a plan this week for a team of up to 10 refugee Olympic athletes. The news of the refugee Olympic team became a trending topic on social media Thursday. Facebook users called the plan a wonderful gesture and the greatest news I've heard in a while. More than 40 high-performance athletes, who happen to be refugees, have been identified as possible Olympic athletes. CNN reported Thursday that one of them is a 17-year-old swimmer named Yusra Mardini. She fled Syria on a boat headed for Greece from Turkey. The boat started filling with water. Mardini and her sister got in the water and helped pull the boat and its 20 people on board to safety. Mardini now lives in Germany. She has received funding from the International Olympic Committee for her training. The refugee Olympic athletes will participate in the Olympic opening ceremony in Rio on August 5th. The team will march out just before athletes from the host nation, Brazil. International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach said at an IOC meeting that, "By welcoming this team of refugee athletes to Rio, we want to send a message of hope for all refugees of the world." The United Nations says that more than 60 million people around the world are refugees. And that's What's Trending Today. I'm Ashley Thompson.
Next, prepare for a grammar lesson. Our weekly Everyday Grammar feature tells you about the finer points of English grammar usage. This week, hear about the difference between wishing and hoping. Ashley Thompson and John Russell tell us about it.
For VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. In English, wish is a powerful word for expressing your dreams, hopes, and desires. Here are some examples.
We wish you the best. Her mother wishes they would get married. I wish I had brought my camera. I wish to speak to the president.
You will often hear wish in music, movie dialogue, poetry, and inspirational speeches. Let's take a look at some of the tricky grammar issues with wish.
A wish is a desire for a different reality. In general, wishes express desires that are unlikely to happen. If you say, "I wish I could fly," it means you probably will not grow wings and learn to fly. Wish follows a unique and rather confusing set of grammar rules. Wish uses the same verb backshifting rule as reported speech. A wish about the present uses a simple past main verb.
He wishes he understood the lesson.
In this example, understood is a simple past verb. Wish is often followed by that. That introduces a noun clause. It is optional. For example,
I wish that I looked like a movie star. I wish I looked like a movie star.
Both of these sentences have the same meaning. In hypothetical situations, such as wishes and conditionals, use were for all pronouns.
I wish you were here. I wish she were here. I wish I were there.
In everyday conversation, you might hear was after wish. For example, I wish I was the president. Was is acceptable in informal situations, but you should use were in formal situations. This confusing rule comes to English through Latin.
Wish, followed by would, usually implies a request. For example,
I wish you would finish college before you get married.
Wish can be used after be going to or will to predict a future regret. Maybe you have heard your parents say something like this.
Someday you are going to wish you had taken my advice. When you are older, you will wish that you had studied engineering. Let's take a closer look at past wishes. Generally, a past wish is a wish that did not come true. To refer to a past wish, use a past perfect verb after the object. To form the past perfect, use had followed by a past participle verb.
She wishes she had written down the phone number. I wish I had known that you were in town last week.
Listen to country singer Gene Autry make a past wish in an old song called I Wish I Had Never Met Sunshine. In this song, Sunshine is the name of a lost lover.
I wish I had never met sunshine, and sunshine had never met me. For 21 years I'll regret it, 'cause I'm in the jailhouse, you see.
Most of the time, a wish about the past suggests regret. The speaker would have acted differently if he or she could turn back time. A past wish has a similar grammatical function to a past unreal conditional. Listen to this song by Taylor Swift. You will hear three different uses of wish. She starts with a future wish, then shifts to the past, then to the present.
I wish you could come back. Wish I never hung the phone like I did. I wish you knew that I'll never forget you as long as I live. And I wish you were right here, right now. It's all good.
Wish, followed by an infinitive, makes a strong demand. For example,
I wish to speak to the manager. I wish to learn the truth about what happened.
Wish can be followed by an infinitive, but never by a gerund. For example, it would sound strange to say, I wish going skiing. The correct form is, I wish to go skiing.
What's the difference between hope and wish? In some contexts, they can be interchangeable. Hope usually expresses desire that is possible. Wish, on the other hand, refers to an outcome that is not likely to happen. Pay attention to the different contexts of hope and wish in these examples.
I hope you pass the test. I wish I could fly. I hope I get to work on time. I wish I were a millionaire.
If wish is reaching for the stars, then hope is reaching for the sky. And that's Everyday Grammar. We hope you will write to us in the comments and on our Facebook page. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.
A relative of Cuba's leader died recently. Mary Gottschall tells us about the life of Ramon Castro, brother to the current leader of the communist island nation, Raul, and former leader, Fidel Castro.
Ramon Castro died last week in Havana at age 91. The New York Times said his death was announced in a brief report by the Communist Party's official newspaper, Granma. Ramon Castro and his famous younger brothers, Fidel and Raul, grew up on a farm in the village of Biran in eastern Cuba. They attended Roman Catholic schools. Ramon was born on October 14, 1924. Once grown, Fidel and Raul headed off to Havana for studies, then the business of launching a revolution against dictator Fulgencio Batista, who seized power in a 1952 coup, reported the Washington Post. Ramon studied agricultural engineering at the University of Havana. He and his brothers were jailed by the former government of dictator Fulgencio Batista in 1953. After the 1959 triumph of the Cuban Revolution, Fidel rose to power. Granma said Ramon Castro aided his brother's efforts as their revolution progressed, according to the New York Times. After his brother Fidel took power, Ramon often worked as a consultant for the government ministries of agriculture and sugar. In the early 1960s, he oversaw sugar production in eastern Cuba and helped increase output. He preferred to stay on the family farm in Biran, a rural town in eastern Cuba. His parents, Angel Castro and Lina Ruiz, had large family land holdings there, reported Reuters. Ramon Castro was 2 years older than his brother Fidel and looked a great deal like his famous brother. Ramon founded several state companies, including ones that transported sugarcane and produced oranges. He also was involved in agricultural research, according to the Washington Post. Ramon was married to Aurora Castillo and had 5 children. I'm Mary Gottschall.
And that is As It Is from VOA Learning English. Join us again tomorrow for more stories aimed at English learners. And keep learning English through stories from the Voice of America.